Yeah. Apple. Snapple. Crab apple. Wait, I said apple twice. I gotta do it again. Apple. Snapple. Apple. No, I said apple again. God damn it. I said apple. I said apple twice. Let me try something else.
This program is brought to you by the makers of, well, if you're going to hide the body, might I suggest the Smithsonian Museum or the clothing section of a nearby Target? Enjoy.
All right, hello, welcome back to Therapeutic Nonsense. I'm Don Mitchell. Thank you, thank you. You're too kind. Wow. All right, welcome back. I had a nice little break. I took a nap. Love those. We're back. It's sports week. The NFL season is back, baby. It's back. It's back, baby. I'm excited. I hope you're excited as well. If you're not sure what the NFL is, it's short for the National Football League. It's here in the United States. It's where a bunch of grown, very large, sweaty men touch each other for about 3 hours. That's usually what happens. It's a pretty great sport. It's a man's paradise. Other news, the World Cup just finished for the Women's World Cup just finished. Spain comes off with a victory over everyone else, the best in the world. No surprise there, had them picked from the beginning after their win over Croatia in the group stage. Even though they had lost to Japan initially the following game in the group stage, and I'm sure you've probably tuned out as I'm talking about it right now, but all you need to know is it was a great World Cup. It was great for women's sports. It's great for soccer. It's great for international sports altogether. I just wish more people would watch it, really. I mean, compared to the men's, it's like a high school basketball game, which is unfortunate, really. I wish more people would watch. I wish more women watched sports. I wish more men watched women's sports. I'm surprised there are not more men watching women's sports, you know, at least for like, you know, the obvious reasons, like, you know, titties and such, you know. I mean, sure, is it creepy? Yeah, but, you know, we gotta start somewhere, right? At any rate, we're gonna have a great show. More sports going around. We're gonna be right back! Yeah! Welcome back to Therapeutic News. I'm Don Mitchell. Tonight's story. Fuck me, guys, it happened again. The prompter. Do we need to get a new prompter? Like, what's the deal? What's the deal? Alright, how about this? I'll just... no, it's fine. I'll improv. It's fine. It's fine. I took a class. It's cool. I got it. 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome back to Therapeutic News. I'm Don Mitchell. Tonight's story. Ashton Kutcher dead? Yeah, no, I don't know. That one was a bit of a stretch. I'm pretty sure he's alive. Should I try something else? I can try something else. All right. Welcome back to Therapeutic News. I'm Don Mitchell. Tonight's story. A herd of cows are down the street of Los Angeles. They're shitting green marbles. Some say it's an act of God, some say it's the end of the world. I think that was good. Yeah, I think I like that. Now with sports.
And back to the field, Calvin Austin for the touchdown and a rainbow throw from Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, so I like sports. I don't know if that was clear. Sports. I'm watching a preseason game, and if you don't pay attention to sports, you can feel free to, you know, tune. You just, you know, go mow the lawn or something. Just, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to listen to it. You know, you can do anything else, but listen to sports if you're not a sports person. But for my sports people, watching a preseason game for the NFL. For those who aren't into sports, the NFL is the National Football League. And it's the Steelers and the Buccaneers. Now, a preseason game, generally, again, for people that don't, you know, sports. I would just keep saying sports so that every 5 seconds, the person who doesn't know what I'm talking about knows what we're talking about. Just so they feel included. It's like sports. They're like, oh, yeah, sports. Yes, the one with the ball and the men and the testosterone. I also got him the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Anywho, preseason game is like it's usually the game. It's in the name, really. It's pretty simple, you know. Men are simple, and it's basically if they play like 4 or 5 games before they play for real, and it's usually for rookies, guys that are just coming into the league, you know, just getting some reps in, seeing what their potential is, and whether or not they'll potentially stay on the team. And generally, they're not going to get a lot of playing time in the regular season anyway, if they're still on the team. So it's like a fifth or sixth interview after, you know, you've already been accepted. And I was thinking about, I was watching the running backs. And I have to explain that one too. The running back is a person in the backfield. The backfield is any part of the space, basically the field, any part of the field behind the quarterback. That's the backfield. And you got a running back in the backfield behind, and the running back is the player that's behind the quarterback. The quarterback is the person who gets the ball initially. He throws the ball to the receiver. The receiver is, we're going to be a while. Anyway, the point is, the player in the backfield, which is the running back, just the person who runs with the ball. It's very simple, running back. He runs, and they all run at some point, but he's really running. And he gets the ball, he takes about like eight yards or whatever, right? It's a good run for a running back. Again, the running back is, you know, I'm not going to keep doing that. I was watching one of the backup running backs go, and their starter running back happens to be Najee Harris. Now, Najee Harris, for those who don't watch sports, Najee Harris came from the University of Alabama, right? Where a lot of great players play. Like if you want to go to the NFL, you go to Alabama for school. You're not going there to get, you're getting a degree in football. That's what it is. That's what the University of Alabama is for. Like, really, they're known for social working, nursing, and football degrees. Like, those are the schools you go to. And you go there for nursing and playing football. That's it. You can get your master's in tight endology. You can do that at the University of Alabama. Only at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
Why do you hate the Knicks so much?
Oh, I don't hate the Knicks. As an organization, as like the players that play, I don't hate the Knicks. Their fan base, they're rude. They are the most critical of their team. They say this stuff like, oh, Knicks for clicks. And it's like, guys, part of the reason why the media is grumpy is the Knicks have the largest fan base. They are the biggest media market. So we're forced to talk about them, whether they win 10 games or whether they win 60. They just signed their first rookie extension since Charlie Ward. They hadn't drafted a guy and re-signed him in 25 fucking years. I want them to be great because that's more money for the NBA, that's more money for ESPN, that's more money for all of us. I'm rooting for the Knicks, but the fans, they are the meanest people to their own franchise and to
So I started watching baseball again. It'd been a while. I hadn't watched it since I was like maybe a teenager. And so I lived in California. I'm born and raised. And I was an Angels fan, and then I became a Dodgers fan because they were significantly better. They've won a couple World Series since I've been alive, so I think I made the right decision. But then I recently went back to being an Angels fan because somehow you just root for a team, you just root for the underdog, you know? And we love a good underdog story. And the Angels, you know, I watched, it was the first time I watched them in a while, and honestly, it's like I never left. They're not good. They're not good right now. They're not great. Trout's still out. Otani's now out. And we really let that guy down. Even though he's like the best player in all of MLB right now, he's on a team that's underperforming around him, which is kind of sad. You would think if he's doing great, everybody else is doing great, but it just doesn't work that way, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And they just came off of a lose. You know, they broke their like 8-game losing streak, which is good. I said 8 games. Yeah, it's 8-game losing streak. They just broke it after a come from behind win in the bottom of the ninth against the Orioles. And I just I'm moaning too much, but you get it. You know, when you root for a team, right? For those of you that are into sports, you understand the emotional turmoil it has when they have a chance to win and they should be winning and they don't. And it's very upsetting. And if they continue to lose, it's hard to still have faith in a losing team. It really is. Like, it's hard to be a Browns fan forever. It really is. It's hard to be a Falcons fan since the Super Bowl. I know we don't want to talk about it, but you can't, like, it's that's not going away. That's forever. I don't even think they're going to be back anytime soon. Not for another 15 years. And if they do, they better win. You know, it's hard to root for a losing team. It really is. But true fans do, you know. I went back to being an Angels fan because I realized, you know, I'm a true fan of that team. You know, I root for an underdog. As far as football is concerned, I have my team, and we've had struggles over the years, and we've had some bad calls that have cost us the game. And, you know, and you can't blame everything on the referees and the officials. I get it. I do. I understand what the refs go through. You know, they got to make tough calls. But sometimes it's like, if the call is that obvious, right? You're like, that's definitely a foul. That's clearly offside, you know? Like, you don't need a review. You don't need to look over the cameras. Everybody saw it. The dude in the nosebleeds saw it. Okay, everybody. Okay. The guy that's riding a canoe in the river behind the stadium saw it. He saw it. He's not even in the game. And he saw it. Some refs are just blind and dumb. And that happens, right? They're not all blind and dumb. Just a few. And maybe we don't need, like, 80-year-old refs. It's kind of like having a president. Maybe we don't need a president that's 80 years old. Same thing with the refs, okay? We don't need an 80-year-old referee. What if he falls and dies? Like, that could happen. You could fall and die. Like, that happens. That happens all the time. It's not good, but it happens. It happens in sports. People get injured. Right? I didn't play sports. I played basketball, but I wasn't, like, good at it. And I ran cross country. I was okay at that, but I wasn't the most physical person on the planet. But that's also because I look like two chopsticks put together. So like if you're just standing up, so I'm pretty thin, relatively speaking. So sports was never my route. But sports, there's a lot of money in sports. It's a form of entertainment. I respect it as a form of entertainment, but it's a more physical form of entertainment, so people can get hurt, and it, you know, and injury your body costs money. So if you get hurt on the field, that affects the game as well. And I'm sure for those of you who don't watch sports, aren't listening at all, and that is totally cool. This isn't for everybody, okay? This is for the sport fanatics, okay? These are guys that watch this, that analyze, that commentate, that criticize, and love the games that are played. There's so many sports that are out there. Croquet is a fucking sport. No one watches it, but it exists. It's a sport. It's a sport that's been around longer than basketball. Who would have thought? You know, swimming is a sport. Cricket is a sport. Curling is an Olympic sport. Curling. You want to know what curling is? They push this marble ball, and it glides on ice, and then people with broomsticks, they brush the ice to move it in a certain direction, and then it's kind of like ice shuffleboarding. That's basically what curling is. It's ice shuffleboarding, and it's quite entertaining. I highly recommend it. You should watch it. It's a delightful time. I fucking love curling. I think the next time I watch that, like the next Olympics that come up, which is like what, 2025, 2026, when it comes around, curling comes around. Is it winter or summer? I think it's a winter Olympic sports. I want to say 2024 is when the next one comes out. Curling, I guess curling would be a winter Olympic sport, technically. Yeah, no, that's a tough call. I don't pay attention to like when it happens. I just watch it. But when I see it, I'll watch it. Like it's one of those. It's one of those. It's like a late night television show. Like you'll watch it. You don't follow it. But if it's on television and you're up, you're gonna watch it. That's the form of entertainment that comes with curling. Cornhole is a sport. You just throw a sack into a hole. Okay, it's not sexual. All right, it's a sport. You just throw a sack in a hole. It's not actual corn. It's like a bean bag. It's the size of your hand. It's in the shape of a square. Not in the shape of corn at all. It's the exact opposite shape of corn. It's a square. Also a sport. There's a lot of sports, man. There's a lot of sports. Billiards, probably one of my favorite sports to play. Like just recreationally. You hit a ball with a stick, and the ball goes in the hole. Another ball that goes in a hole. There's a lot of balls and holes in sports. I've noticed that. Golf, as of recently. And that's fine. I get it. But also, I don't get it. There's a lot of balls and a lot of holes. There's not a lot of creativity. But there is a lot of creativity in, like, the way the games are played. Like, golf, for example, the points are backwards. That's confusing to a lot of people. But it makes sense to the game of golf. People get it. You know, the numbers are weird. But the points, you know, and it's based on, like, how quickly you can get the ball in the hole. So if you're 400 yards away and it only takes you 2-3 shots to get the ball in the hole, that's pretty damn good. It's pretty darn good to me. All the fields are different. You play it. It's like, think of it like playing in a stadium. You play in, like, 10 different stadiums at a given, you know, season, and you can win different tournaments and win all this money. There's so much money in sports. It's absurd how much money people are getting paid to play a sport. It's insane. Like, God, it's like, I don't even get it sometimes. I'm like, where is this money coming from? Like, I don't, like, Saudi Arabia, where is it coming from? It's so much money. Like, it doesn't even feel like real money. I'm like, it's not real. It can't be. There's no way you can be making $22 million a year just kicking a ball. I can't imagine that. But at the same time, I can, because there's so much that goes into playing the game and how the game is played and how much work is on the human body just to play it in a style that someone wants you to play it in, and having to play it in front of thousands of people watching you. Like, there's a lot of pressure as well. So it makes sense in some variations. In others, it doesn't. And, you know, that's a lot like life, you know? Some things make sense and some things don't. Everything's kind of up to you. Sports teaches you a lot about life. It's not easy, right? You're going to get hurt, probably, you know? You're going to want to give up, you know? And some people do, right? Some people throw in the towel. Some people walk off the field and never come back. And you know, it's okay. It's a choice, you know? But some people, you know, choose to pick up the ball and keep rolling, you know? And that's not easy to do either. Ray, I was supposed to say something funny here. I have nothing. I got nothing. Not gonna lie.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
Definitely for an opportunity for that man on screen. Bit of width, that's what he's been looking for. Something a fraction wide. Saudi offered it up and he smashed it for four. Just as I say that, Saudi goes full and gets punched down the ground for four. That's why he dragged his length back. Another full delivery, two full on this occasion. And the outfield and the boundary is very short in that direction. Three boundaries in the space of eight deliveries for David Milan. That goes through. That's four drives now. Square drive on this occasion from David Milan for four. That's a throwdown. That was right in the slot.
Okay. And
David Milan has put it away again.
So, this is cricket. I don't fucking get it. I don't get it yet. I don't get it. Maybe
stand and deliver. Brilliant cover drive.
If I watch it long enough, it'll make sense to me.
Hammered. Short from Jameson and punished. Over the top of that slip in place, around about fourth, maybe fifth slip.
Alright, so we're talking about this Mitchell guy.
Opting for him. It's found the gap, and that is a half century for David Milan.
So little
at better than a runner ball as well in the opening ODI of this series.
Wiffle ball. Not wiffle ball. It's harder than a wiffle ball.
Nice to by Harry Brook. Gets on to one. Straight bat pull.
I can't tell exactly what kind of ball it is from.
Yes!
Oh, he's got him. It's just come off the pad. Ravindra's appealing, but it's come off the pad and rolled onto the stumps.
Strange shot from Milan. That's turning, that's hitting him in line as well, I think, Dooley. That's why the appeal was there. But then ricocheting off that front pad onto the hand and back onto the stumps.
Jesus.
Glove through to Tom Latham. And New Zealand have gone bang,
bang.
Hit
him in the
this
face.
Time it is Harry Brook in a good short ball from Lockie Ferguson.
It's a foul, ref.
Off stump, Lockie Ferguson, foul. Just the pace, and then the bounce. This is very, very well directed. Cutting back in, coming straight towards the grill, takes the glove.
There's like no pads in this game. That's a problem.
Really tight as he hit an inside edge. Has he got an inside edge on it?
I don't even know what that means.
Please keep on three. You can just freeze it there. There's a clear spike, and as the ball hits the bat and the deviation into the pad.
Oh, they do have a pad. They have a pad on your knee. Oh, that's good.
Question was, bat that's first
Disney
or pad
fucked
first?
If didn't have
it was
a pad.
Definitely
Jesus.
Bat. Good decision.
Go very fine, and it's a very short boundary. Given as runs from umpire right.
That's an oddie.
Down the field, as he likes to do. Sorry, the pitch, and he slashed it down. Whoa, I think we'll have a look at this with the help of the third umpire, Adrian Holdstock. Slog sweep has gone straight up in the air, looking back into the sun. Good catch.
He caught it. That's an out. That's an out, right?
Easy, but not straightforward. Root was shackled.
I don't even know if that's a good thing or not. I have no idea.
This one, Ravindra had as another.
This makes less sense than baseball, I'll be honest.
In
annoyance at not finding the middle of the bat, so he goes for the big shot, the slog sweep. There's a gap if he middles it over Daryl Mitchell's head.
They don't even use gloves. They just catch that shot with their
own. Goes down the ground, just too full. That's the inviting boundary here at Sapphire Gardens. Down to the River Tap end for six.
Is that good? I don't know. Still don't know. There's a bunt. Usually there's people on base. There's no bases in this game, by the way. They just kind of hit it and something happens.
It's well done at extra cover, but the parry allows Butler to trot through for a single. It brings up his 50 and better a run of.
Oh, they run back and forth. It's like pickles, but with a bat.
Nice got hit. Got a bit of it and got enough of it. You're right, Nass. He was protecting that straight short boundary. He's got into the pitch and Stokes is sitting cut.
That is a point
50
system.
For Stokes.
50. Shit, their point system's crazy.
Gone. Slapped it straight at extra cover. You could see that Stokes felt that that was an over he could target off Ravindra. And he's holed out at extra cover.
One area he wanted to target, mid-off, extra cover. Couldn't quite get underneath it. Nichols takes the catch at extra cover.
Ravindra's bowled terrifically well.
You have to bounce it.
Hasn't got another because he's got plenty of that Josh Butler.
So he's throwing into the ground and it bounces up.
Type of team that swung high and hard enough just over the boundary.
And the thing is, the field's so wide is that the outfield, you can't really, like, they're not going to be able to run and catch it either at the ball.
Over the side screen or into the side screen. Didn't quite get it as well as I initially thought, but good enough again. Immense power, Livingston.
Yeah, I need like a pamphlet or something.
There is just a little more proof of it.
If I go to England and I go to cricket short game, and off pace again, I'm going to look lost as fuck.
Pace off.
Like, did he get a home run? What is it? Are there home runs here? I don't know how this works.
Has a wicket, and Liam Livingston's innings comes to an end.
A wicket. So it's a wicket. That's what boundaries, but he's got a wicket, a sticky wicket.
Just out of that length of the standard
so
hit.
Sticky wicket, what does that mean? I need to know what this means. I don't know what sticky wicket means, really, but it's a sport reference.
Sort
of. Or it's a sports catch. Metaphor for something.
Gone straight up as well.
That's
Lockie
a
Ferguson coming in, and he takes the catch. So couple in the over for Tim Southey, and both set batters gone.
How many innings are there? Are there innings?
Similar length, even a bit shorter. Pace off, 76 miles an hour, and Josh Butler can. All he can do is sky it in the air. Didn't even make the 30-yard circle. Lockie Ferguson had to run in and catch that.
Gone straight, and it has gone for six as well. Bob Cord, Stuart Broad.
So I guess how far it is.
Got the timing right, and there's a good little innings in the end from David Willey. 21 off the lever.
The way they run and throw is interesting too.
More swing, but Fuller and finds the gap. First boundary for New Zealand. Well, cut away this time, but it was a little bit of whiff on offer for Will Young. He picks up his first boundary.
And the refs are funny. They got like a cowboy hat. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Full from Topley.
Got like a pink shirt that doesn't match. It's like, what's happening?
Back to back boundaries for New Zealand.
And they got Ford.
Yeah, leg side again.
But it's like just
Ford
is the sponsor.
Too straight. This will run away for another boundary. The third of the over.
Oh, and Emirates. It's from most international sports.
Played away beautifully. Through the offside, Harry Brook will give chase.
Oh, dang.
I think the ball wins. Boundary off. Wokes' first delivery.
Hey, good hustle, man. I want him on my team. He ran for that ball. He couldn't catch it. It's what, the ball is 10 times
faster
than that.
Sliced away for four. That'll run away comfortably.
He just waves his arm from side to side. I have no idea what that signal means.
And slower ball from Wokes. But the result is the exact same.
He just looks displeased with
everything. Back-to-back boundaries.
He's moving his arm. No.
Down the wicket.
That's not what that means. I think it just means it's clear.
Through square on the offside.
one side or something.
Come back.
Short this time, pulled away by Conway.
Get there.
Atkinson can do nothing in the deep.
None of them can do anything. The field is too wide to make any play in the outfield.
Yep.
Tickle fine.
Any play on it. They have to go get the ball.
He gets his line slightly wrong. The wind or something's not suiting you. Driven for four.
Nice.
In the air for a moment of time. Joe Root was interested at short extra cover. It runs away.
Nice. Got him.
Ball in the leg spinner.
Got him.
Turns away from Young and hits his off stump. Spin away.
Look at that.
Wonderful. Magical delivery.
Beautiful. Got it, ass. That's good, right? That's good. Hit the stick. Hit the sticky wicket. I think that's what that means now.
Bit of width, and Conway has rocked back and slapped that past extra cover. Beats the man on the deep cover boundary. Short ball.
I feel like they just swing until they don't get hit. Like,
the gap beats Joe Root.
Put the ball directly at their chest boundary. Every time.
Would have done him for pace for a moment, but he managed to keep the ball.
Like, if they did it in baseball, fights would break out a lot more often.
Gets it past Reese Topley. It's quick, the outfield here. In Cardiff, away for four, and the 100 comes up for New Zealand. That's lovely. That really is lovely. Hit with terrific power. Brings up Devin Conway's 50 with his 8-4, and in some style.
Get there, get there, get there.
Time. That is just a push from Nichols, and that has gone all the way.
Yeah, they're just terrible.
Now, I know it's a short,
straight
boundary down towards the River Taff end, but there was no way Stokes was catching that.
I guess they're not allowed to use their feet.
Edge and got on, and he's got the breakthrough. Well done to David Willey. It was an expensive opening three overs. A switch of ends and a swoosh from Henry Nichols has seen England take their second.
Bitterly disappointed didn't catch up with this.
Ooh.
Just stayed a bit too low.
Yeah.
Crouch down, top edge through to Joss Butler.
What a shot that is. That is a clean strike. He's a wonderful hitter of a cricket ball.
Clean strike. Shit.
Might have found the gap. He has placed it absolutely perfectly. It's a big part of the ground, but it's another boundary for New Zealand and Devin Conway.
Devin Conway is a killer. Huh?
Yeah, come on. Nice jumpers.
Down the ground and big enough. Over Stokes's head. He's got a lot of power, Mitchell. It's on show again tonight. You could hear Livingston say, oh my goodness. And the drag down long hop has nearly got him a wicket. Well, there might be a run out now. Utter confusion and chaos. In the end, I think it's a couple for him, and it's 50.
To the right-hander.
Like a number 95.
Down the ground, he's going to take him on. This is wonderful batting from Mitchell. England's trump card on this pitch has returned to the attack and been dispatched into the stand.
But not long on. That will do nicely. A fourth ODI 100 for Devin Conway. His first against England, and the first time of asking against England. Quite brilliant innings.
Boss.
And it's put his side in a commanding position. Yep.
Yep.
Just get that feeling.
That's gone.
When enough is enough. They've brought the field in. They've had a few dots. I'm not going to let this go into the last over or two.
By the reaction of the crowd, that might have been taken just down below us, Nasser.
And a pitch.
There it
down
is.
Down the ground. 6-4-6 from Mitchell. He moves into the 90s. Here it comes. Just drops it on the leg side, takes a single and goes to 100, same as his partner. Four ODI 100s, first against England at the first time of asking. serious nick going into that World Cup. And down the ground, serious nick here at Cardiff, targeting those straight boundaries. Up and over again. Will it go all the way? Yep, it does. Conway goes down the ground and goes all the way to six. What a way to finish it. What a partnership that is between Conway and Mitchell.
Holy shit.
180 between them.
Eight wickets. They win by eight wickets. So wickets are points? I should watch more cricket. I'm still figuring it out.
All right, I'm going to let you know on a little secret. I just recently found the greatest show on television, and it just happens to be about sports, but just about people in general. It also deals with themes of mental health and love and society as a whole. It deals with race as well, and, you know, all different things that we deal with as human beings every single day. If you're familiar with Apple TV Plus, you probably know the show very well. Ted Lasso is the show. Tells about a man named Ted Lasso, who suddenly becomes the coach of an international soccer team. He's never played the sport, never coached the sport, and somehow he galvanized the team not only to victory on the field but off the field as well. It's a great story. It's a great show. And if you're a fan of football, you'll love the show too. So check it out, Ted Lasso. All right.
Fucking do it! Chug it! Chug it! Chug! Chug it! We're at a tailgate. Chug the beer. Chug it, you pussy. Chug it. Ah!
Okay, so help me out here. So the knight, which is the horsey moves in an L shape in any direction, really. Left, right, forward, backwards. L shape. The bishop moves diagonally. Left, right, backwards, forwards. Like an X motion, right? X marks the G spot. The queen... Queen does whatever the fuck she wants because she's got the coochie, so she's got all the power. And then the king doesn't move a lot because he's fat and he's in his mid-40s. The rook moves left, right, up, down, kind of like a crucifix motion, sort of. If you imagine what a crucifix looks like. Just imagine a crucifix for a second. That's the way the rook moves. Moves like a crucifix, basically. You're welcome. Oh, I forgot. One more thing. The pawns. The pawns are like the foot soldiers. They're in the front lines. They're the first to go, generally. They sacrifice themselves for the greater good of the nation. Of whatever the fuck. And... they move forward, usually a space or two. They can move two spaces in the beginning, and then after that, they can only move one. And then they move diagonally to attack. They'll just, like, slap you to the right, slap you to the left. That's chess, basically, in a nutshell. You're welcome.
Wow, oh wow, that was crazy. Oh wow, what a show that was. Thank you so much for listening to Therapeutic Nonsense. I'm Don Mitchell. Good night.
Hey.
Go long. Okay, that was too long.